Sometimes I feel like Noah, you know, like I keep saying the same thing over and over for 120 years. But that flood was really coming, wasn't it? He warned him and warned him and warned him. I'm sure the first time that he said, guess what? Water's going to fall from the sky and it's going to be a flood. And people probably went, what did he say? Let's all go and hear about that. And they went and told their neighbors, there's a crazy guy over there talking about water falling from the sky. And everybody ran in and said, I never heard such a thing. But you know, he preached that same thing for 120 years. After a while, the crowds went away and said, it's never going to happen. I kind of feel like that with what God has shown me so far for the coming year. He said, you guys need to prepare. What do you think we've been doing all this time? That's the message we keep hearing. Prepare, prepare, prepare. And we were always saying, prepare, get ready, something's coming. And he said, but this year, it's going deeper. It's going to intensify. It's really, the fire is getting hotter, and we need to get ready. I know it's the same message, but somehow it's different this year. Somehow things are going to be different this year. Somehow the trials are going to intensify. Things are going to increase. Some people are going to really come forth as gold and silver in the next year. What I do believe is 1 year from now, none of us are going to be the same. We are not going to be the same. We are either going to be a little more purified, or we're going to have quit, given up, left, because it was too hard. I think that what's coming in the next year is definitely going to make you different 1 year from now. How many feel like you're different right now than you were 1 year ago? It's going to be even more so 1 year from now. There's a couple of things God has given me that I haven't shared yet. And I feel like they need to come together as a kickoff for this year. I don't know if they'll all come together this morning, but we'll get a start. The very first thing that he gave me was back on December 8th. And I've held this for a while. How many people since you started coming here have just waited for when I was finally going to start doing what I said and train the prophets? How many people are still waiting? Train me, I want to be a prophet. Some of you, we talked about that 5 years ago, and we started training, and we thought, yeah, we're going to learn how to prophesy. We're going to learn how to interpret dreams. We're going to do those exciting experiential things, you know, and see miracles. And what we got was boot camp. You know, read your Bible and pray and do the hard stuff and be faithful and love one another and build your relationship. And it was like we're building this really, really strong, big foundation. And then God's going to do those things. But we have to be standing in a strong, solid place first. So that has been taking a very long time. I think we have a good foundation. We're going to always keep reestablishing that, you know, because there's always new people coming and sometimes we get weak. So we're always going to reestablish that foundation. But this morning, I feel like God does want to begin leading into preparing us for the dreams, the visions, the prophetic things that are going to be coming, because they are needed. The written word of God is absolute, solid, will never change. You can be sure. You can read it and you can be sure. Prophecy and dreams they're different. There takes discernment. There takes real relationship in the presence of a very real God in order to know if they are from God. How do we interpret them? What do we do with them? That takes the presence of God. So the first thing we're going to talk about this morning is who has stood in His counsel. Father, we just ask that Your Holy Spirit would come, light the lighter, give me the lizard, let Your Holy Spirit speak with a powerful anointing. Let our ears be opened by Your Spirit to receive with life and quickening and power. And do what You want to do through this message in us. Your word never returns void. Send Your power with Your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. I will explain the lizard lighter more thoroughly at a different time. But we had a friend who used to joke, and he had a rubber lizard. And he said, who's ever got the lizard gets to talk. So, you know, whenever we were talking, he and Harvey both wanted to do all the talking. And he'd go, You know, just wave the lizard. I got the lizard. It's my turn, you know. So who has the lizard gets to talk. I had brought a lighter with a lizard on it, and I was going to put it in our family auction for somebody that collects lighters. Before it ever arrived in the mail, God had spoken to me about who has the lizard gets to talk. And he said, and this is like a lighter inside of us. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have the fire of God inside of you. But God has to open the lid and strike that lighter and make the flame burn. So when the anointing is on you, you've got the lizard. You get to talk. God will light the fire in you and anoint your words. So I actually kept that. It never went in the auction. I have the lizard in my purse. I hope I have it in the speech today. Jeremiah 23:18. Give you a minute to get there. Give me a minute to get there. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? I looked up some of those words because I like to expound on words to have a deeper understanding. I used to read this and go, me, God, it's me. I'm going to go stand in your council. I'm going to come in. I want to come before you. I want you to talk to me. I want to know what's on your mind. I want to know what's on your heart. What are your thoughts? What do you want to do? I want to be that person. And God began to speak about the word stood. To stand in something doesn't just mean you get to walk in the presence of God, stand there and go, okay, speak to me. But to stand means to continue, to be established in a certain place. This is your place to stand. This is a place where you've been trained. You've been taught to wait. You've been taught to listen. And you're not going to leave that place. You're going to stay there. So who has stood in the counsel? When God does give you counsel, are you established in it? Do you take it and own it? Do you take it into prayer and digest it? Really consider it. Ask the Holy Spirit to explain it to you. Ask Him to bring it into your life experientially so you can live it and know what it means and establish yourself in that thing. That's what he's talking about. Who has perceived, understood, considered? Who has seen and gazed into that truth and that revelation from God and had the Holy Spirit open your spiritual eyes? Show me wonderful things. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things in your word, God. Who has done that? Who has asked God the question, what do you want me to do with this? Why have you shown me this? How do I respond to it? How do I handle it? How do I bring it? When do I bring it? Who do I take it to? You see, there's more in God speaking to a prophet than you just wanting to be one. It takes the laying down of your life. It takes a laying down. It takes a separation. In verse 21, if we go on down, there are prophets that don't do that. God says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. One of the signs of a true prophet is the effect on the people that hear the prophecy. If people are not being turned from evil, if they're not being purified, if they're not coming out of sin and coming closer to God, then they're not. The word is like chaff that's being blown away. You can speak it and it can sound good, but the first wind that comes along just blows it away. But God's word is not so. If they've really heard from God and they're carrying His word, it's like wheat. It takes root. It grows. It does something. It's alive and it's powerful. God says it's like a hammer. It breaks up things into pieces. It breaks up rock. You got a hard-hearted person and you bring them a true word from God, it's like breaking that rock of hardness in them and crushing it to powder. But if it's just your opinion, if it's just your own imagination, it's just like chaff. The wind comes, blows it away, and the person walks off and forgets you said it. No power. So if you really want to carry powerful words, you have to stand, be established, separate your life, really give yourself to hearing God, How much do you want to do that? How much do you want to do it? How important is it to you? Because it doesn't always come instantly. You want to be a receiver of dreams. We're going to talk about dreams. You want to be a receiver of God's dreams, then you have to purify your mind. You can't sit down and watch murder and violence and junk all night long on TV. You're going to go to bed and you're going to dream that stuff. You can't have your thoughts, your life, filled with what you want to do, because that's what you're going to dream about, what you want to do. You can't be filled of pain and fear that you're not healed of, because that's going to come in your dreams. People have the same repetitive dream. I remember for years that I would dream that I was a baby in a baby crib, and the door would open, and I could see the light, and then somebody came over that baby crib and they had a really big head. I used to be terrified of people with big heads. I didn't know why, but if I met you and you had a big head, it was like, oh, it's a big-headed person. They're evil, you know? To a baby, every head looked pretty big, I guess. I don't know why I had that dream over and over and over and over. And then I would be terrified to talk. Well, finally, as I walked longer with the Lord, I brought that dream before Him and said, God, what is this? Because it owns my dreams. And I don't want it in my dreams anymore. What is this? And the Lord brought me through a healing of something that happened when I was a baby in a crib. I couldn't really remember it consciously, but someone had come in a room as I was a baby and clamped their hand over my mouth and said, just shut up! Stop crying! And that terrified me into being a very quiet person for the rest of my life. I grew up very quiet in my home. I never cried. I was afraid to make noise. And it came from that incident as a baby. God took me back to that incident and He healed me. I never dreamt it again. I'm still a little shaky with the big head, but, you know, but it doesn't really mean anything, and I know that. We have hang-ups, we have fears, we have things, and they get in our dreams. But we have to face those things with God. We need healing. We need to overcome our fears. We need to conquer our fears through God so that He can own our thought life, so that He can own our emotions. And the enemy can't play on those things.
Right.
What we watch on TV, what we eat, there's things you can eat that cause you to dream. So we're going to learn a little bit about dreams in a while, but right now I'm going to talk about the prophet. And God said if they were really prophets, they would be bringing people closer to me. They would be getting people out of sin and into my camp closer to me. That's what they would be doing with the prophecy. Now, there's different ways that can happen. They don't have to be always pointing a finger and saying, you, I know what you did last night, repent. I mean, that's not always the way that we come out of our sin. They could be saying, God loves you, come to Him. But it's going to do something in you to bring a repentance. Prophets bring repentance. They bring relationship with God. Now, if somebody's prophesying over you and they rightfully could be saying, you are going to preach to millions. You are going to see healings. You're going to sit in a chair because you're so tired of the long lines of the people that are going to come and you're going to see them healed. God's going to do it through you. There's two ways you can respond to that. I am really the big shot, you know. I need to be the leader of everything because I am so powerfully anointed. And in that pride, that prophet maybe deceived you. They just wanted to impress you, and they speak whatever you want to hear so you like them. And it puffs up your pride. But it also could be a true word from God that humbles you to where you say, oh, God, why me? I don't deserve that. I'm not worthy of that. How could you do that through me? And there's a humbling in it that draws you closer to God. Are you really going to do that through me? I better stay really close to you then, because I'll mess it up. What does it do in you when someone prophesies over you? And it might be the prophet, and it might be you. Maybe it's just you and your pride. You take all prophecy in your pride and mess it up. God will deal with that. Prophecy is to draw you closer to God. All the powerful things He's coming to do are in spite of us, not because of us. They're because of who He is. and what he will do through us when we yield. Someone asked us recently. They did something and it was very anointed. It was very powerful. And then they wanted to analyze it and say, how do we make that happen again? What do I need to do so that it will be powerfully anointed again next time? You can't do anything. Well, then how can I know that it's going to be anointed again? You know, do I learn more? Do I practice more? Do I do more? No, you do less. You just show up and give him your heart. Just show up and give him free rein, because he's the one that's doing it. To be a prophet, I think it's not something only the more spiritual, the more intellectual, the more godly get called to. It's something that you call yourself unto because you want it, because you desire it, because you're willing to lay your life down. Is it a call and a gifting of God? Absolutely. But if it's your call and your gifting, then you're going to be consumed with it. You're going to be hungry for it. You're going to say, I want that. I want that. And when you find out what it means and you still want it, then you know you're called. You might think you're called a pastor until you find out how hard it is, how thankless it is, how sacrificial it is, how much hard work it is. And when you find all that out and it's still the only thing you want to do, then you know you're called. Same with prophecy. It takes a separation. Other people can do some things you can't do. Other people can watch NCIS on TV. I don't get to watch it. One of my favorite shows, I love it. I don't get to watch it because it gets in my dreams. I had to give that up because it got in my dreams. I like to solve mysteries. So if I watch any mysteries, I'm going to bed figuring out how I would have wrote that play. And, you know, how to solve the thing. And I got to try to figure all that out. And then I dream about it all night. So I had to stop watching them. God had asked me to stop watching things that consume my thought life in my dreams. I stopped. I had God dreams every night. Went to bed with a journal by my bed. And I'm writing all my God dreams, waking up and going, oh, I love this. This is better than the movies. This is all good. You know, it's worth it. But then my dreams stopped. I wasn't getting any more God dreams. Every night, taking my journal, and I don't wake up, and I don't write anything. Nothing's coming. And if something does come, it's like so ridiculous, and I know it's not God. It's gone as soon as I wake up. The temptation was, go back to the movies. I guess that season's over. No dreams are coming. Might as well go watch the movies. Stand in your place.
Right.
Stand in that place. Wait. Wait. They don't come every night. Sometimes they don't come every month. But you have to stay where he placed you and wait. There's the testing. Be faithful. Prove that you want to be in that place with him. Even when he doesn't show up, you show up. You keep waiting until he shows up again. God, I got a meeting place with you. It's called my dream. God, I got a meeting place with you. It's called my prayer closet. Whether you show up or not, I'm going to be there when you do.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there every day, every night, every day, every night. I'm going to live in a place where I'm ready to receive when you show up. This is important for the coming year. Some of you are going to stand in that place. Some of you are going to have dreams. Some of you are going to have visions. Some of you are going to get the warnings and the words from God because you're in that place of readiness to receive and to listen. Some of you won't get them because you don't want it bad enough. And you're just going to say, this is boring. This isn't exciting. I'm tired of waiting. I'm going to go amuse myself. I'm going to go entertain myself. You're still going to get the warning from those who waited to get it. Some people are going to take the warning when they hear it, and some are not. But the warnings are coming first to the house of God. The warnings are coming first to the people of God. And the privileges are coming first. And the open invitation to be that person is coming first to you. It's coming to Burning Bush, and it's coming to you because you're here today. You have that opportunity. You have that choice. I think I skipped a bunch of pages. Let's look at verse 28. Move down to verse 28. The prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream. He that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. I'm going to go back up a little bit. I'm going to go back up to 25. These prophets that were sent that God did not send them. He said, I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, there are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream. But he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, He saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Dreams can be from God. Prophecy can be from God. But those that are prophesying of their own imaginations and deceit, God said it can't profit the people. Harvey and I have a saying, I would rather hear a truth that I hate than a lie that I love. Because what good to me is the lie that I love? When the prophets are saying, everything is peace, peace, don't worry about it. We got a great big God. You're all going to be fed. You're all going to keep your houses. You're all going to keep your money. Everything in America is going to be fine. Because you love God, everything for you is going to be just fine. That's not true. And for them to tell you that makes you just keep doing what you're doing and not get ready. But if you hear a truth, even though you don't like it, you're probably, the American dollar is probably going to crash. The banks are going to be all world-owned. They're going to take all your money because it's a worthless piece of paper, and you're going to lose everything. We don't like hearing that. But if we know it, we can get ready for that. We can get ready for that. There's a way to prepare for that. That's not today's message, but there are ways to prepare for that. If we were told a lie, and a prophet came in here today and said, I know you got an eviction notice to get out of here by February 1st, but don't worry about it. We got a great big God, and he's a 11th hour God, 12th hour God. Right at the last minute, he's going to miraculously change their mind. You're going to keep the building, so don't worry about it. You don't need to move. We got told that lie on our house, so we didn't move. We didn't prepare. We didn't look for another place. We just sat there and believed the lie. God's going to rescue us at the last minute. He didn't do it, and they took us to court and evicted us. And we didn't know where to go because we did not prepare for the truth. We really are being evicted here, and we really are going to have to get out of the building. That's the truth, and we need to get ready for where we're going to go. So knowing that truth, we can get ready to deal with that. See, a false prophet is in comparison someone who would say, just trust God, you're going to keep your building. When God didn't say that. Prophesying from their own desires and their own imaginations, we are better to know the truth. And in truth, I have to tell you, it's going to be a hard year. It's going to be a hard year in the furnace of trials and afflictions. The heat's going to be turned up. Isaiah 42:22-23. Let's go there for a minute. But this is a people robbed and spoiled, and they're all of them snared in holes, and they're hid in prison houses, and they're for a prey, and none delivers for spoil, and none says, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? God is looking for those who will appoint him the time. God is looking for those who look beyond the selfishness of our own little life. Am I comfortable today? Do I get to eat what I want to eat? Do I own the clothes I want? How's my car? Do I have the car I'd love to drive? Am I in the place I want to live? How's my husband treating me? Is he really meeting all my needs? Somebody's got to go beyond that and say, it's not about that. My life isn't about that anymore. My life is about, how do I get in the presence of God? How do I stand before God? How do I hear what he's up to? How do I get to be a mouthpiece that can bring the truth to people? How do I get to listen and hear for the time to come? You see, God isn't going to give me, although I desire to be that person, and I've made that choice. Harvey's made that choice. We have made that choice in our life. But God's working in teams today, so we can't get it all by ourselves. He's working in teams. He wants to speak to you. And he wants us all to bring together the pieces of what we hear, put them together into a big, big puzzle, and get the bigger picture. I have been just storming the throne room saying, where do you want us to go, God? Where do you want us to go? I have bits and pieces of things he's told me, but I don't have a total answer. But if you will go before him and ask him, and if you'll bring your bits and pieces, when we put them all together, I think we'll know the answer.
Yep.
I think it'll all come together and we'll get an answer. See, he's working in the bigger body, in the full body. He's not just going to tell the pointy finger which way to point. The hand has to turn that finger and direct it. And the arm has to be attached to the hand. And the brain had to tell the arm where to turn. The finger alone can't figure it out. And even if the brain has it all figured out, he needs an arm and a hand and a finger to point the way and feet to carry us there. It's a total body thing. We have to work together. In order to work together, it requires something. Because God could just tell one person. They could walk in and say, hey guys, I got the answer. But it requires something to work together. It requires what we've been learning for years. It requires relationship. It requires depending on one another. It requires unity. A little bit of giving in and much forgiveness and mercy. It requires us becoming godly in character in order to function as a body. Because if we've got our arms pulling two different ways, we don't move at all. The body is frozen. It requires everything that it's really about. Relationship, love, mercy, unity, listening, yielding. And that's the only way we're going to know what he wants to do when we come together as a body. Jeremiah 49:19b, the second part of 19. We can read the first part, and I'll tell you when we get to the part that he pointed out to me. Jeremiah 49:19. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan against the habitation of the strong, but I will suddenly make him run away from her. And this is where it starts. This is what I want you to hear. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? And who will appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd that will stand before me? We're just talking to prophets. We're talking to shepherds. We're talking to everyone. Because he wants all of us to appoint him the time. Appoint him the time. Get with God. Spend time with God. Receive what he's saying to you in your part of this. And be established in what he's doing in you. It's time to form an army. It's time to form an army. And we can't be asleep anymore. We can't be what America has been able to be for years. Spoiled, rich, comfortable, and expecting that the government will take care of us like a giant babysitter. The government is going broke. The babysitter is going broke. They can't keep handing us everything. Our armies are getting overpowered by other armies. We are no longer the free, independent, democratic America that we once were. It's changing. We are entering the world system. We're compromising those things in order to belong to the bigger power of the whole world. Things are changing. Things are changing. We can't just say, but this is America. I've always done it this way, and it will keep being this way. We need to wake up. We need to stand up. And we need to become God's army. In my mind, in some of the little pieces God has shown me, I think that it might be time to get off the grid. It might be time to take the church into a less conspicuous place. There's houses, foreclosed houses, big houses. Maybe we could buy one of those and just gut the whole thing out and make it a church and don't put out a sign. Maybe it's time to get a little more seclusive. I don't know where, I don't know what. I mean, I've gone and looked at some things I wish that it was, but I don't know what it is. Maybe we want a storefront business where we still get to reach everybody that comes in as a business and then bring them to that church place on Sunday. I don't know, there's a lot of options of what God's up to, but what He is up to this year in us is purifying us, preparing us, and especially calling some to make a separated stand. A separated stand. I will be one of those people who will appoint you the time. I will be one who will listen. I will be one who will obey. I will be one who will purify my mind so that you can speak to me and I won't be in confusion. I will be one who will lay my life down just for you, God. Just to hear you and be with you. I will be one. I will be one of those. No matter the cost, no matter the outcome. We've lived in a spoiled society that says, what will God do for me? Or what if I do become a Christian? What's that going to do for me? I mean, is that a guarantee that He's going to heal all my sickness and that I get to see fun and miracles and He's going to repair my marriage and everything's going to be happy now? And what am I getting out of this? Getting out of hell out of this. You're getting that. That's a good sideline benefit, you know, and if we never got anything else, that's more than we deserve.
I'm telling you.
God's getting us out of this. God's holy heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people
right.
who love Him and want to live in the goodness of God.
Right.
They don't want to be selfish anymore.
Right.
My poor husband, we did some counseling and we were giving another man some good advice about how to be a better husband. So when he leaves, my husband says, how can I be a better husband to you? I said, I don't know. Go ask God. Well, I'm asking you. You tell me, what can I do more? What can I do better to make you happy? And I said, I don't want to tell you more. Just go ask God. You know, you're a good husband. You're a good enough husband. You're a great husband. Don't change anything. You're doing fine. But, okay, he says, let's pretend. Let's pretend I'm not your husband. But you're my counselor, and I'm just a husband, and you can tell me how to be a better husband. Finally, I said to him, you know, if I even begin to go there and think about how you could make me happier, how I could like our marriage better, what would please me more, then I'm moving into a total spirit of selfishness. And then, therefore, I'm not going to be happy anymore because now I'm selfish. So stop it. I'm not going to tell you anything. Don't try to make me happier. Just make God happy and I'll be fine. Because there's a difference in happiness and joy. Happiness is surface. He could make me happier. He could do all the dishes. I mean, I could give him a list. Why don't you do all the cooking, the grocery shopping, and all the dishes, and while you're at it, throw in the laundry, you know? Keep all that done, I'll be a lot happier. But it's not good for me. How good would that be for me? Because when I do what I'm created to do and I do my part, I have peace, I have joy, I have contentment knowing that I'm doing things I should do. So if he did all my things, I might be happy, but happy is temporary. And it turns into bitterness and unhappiness. You cannot make a spoiled person feel good.
Right.
You can't. The more you give them, the more they want. Because the flesh, it's craving. It craves. If you start to satisfy your flesh, you make it crave more. And it craves and craves and craves, and it can never really be satisfied. But the soul is, the spirit is different. The spirit is satisfied by doing right. The spirit is satisfied by giving, by sacrifice, by love, by mercy. by godliness. God wants you to be full of joy, not happiness. Joy and godliness. And when we get to heaven and we have learned how to love, we've learned how to think about the other person and not just us. We've learned how to forgive. We've learned to give. We've learned to be happy, joyful, no matter what's going on. Then we fit in heaven. Heaven is not a place to bring your sin. So we need to get over the sin. We won't get over it until we get there, because the devil is here tempting and provoking and deceiving and corrupting us all the time. But we should hate that. We should hate that and look forward to the day that we can live without that effect anymore. Heaven is a place for people who desire holiness and godliness. We don't mess with God. You reap what you sow. You don't mess with God. You don't come and give your life to God to see what you can get from Him.
Right.
That is not coming to God at all.
Nope.
We come to God in repentance.
Right.
Hating the sin that has destroyed us and wanting it to go away. We don't want to continue in it. Who's that shepherd that will stand before me? If you're called to be a shepherd, it means that you need to protect sheep, love sheep, lead sheep. And the shepherd has to appoint God time. The shepherd has got to go stand before God. I'm going to give you the word about the lighter, because that's the next thing that's here on December 8th, 8:14 a.m. God said, "Old men die where once they stood. Times have changed, and their time of wisdom was for a time which has passed. Youth arises to take their place. Listen to the youth and give them place. But the old who will be made young can hear the current sounds. The spirit can be made young if they will awaken to the spirit speaking now. That which was, was, and that which is, is. Wake up to the current flow of the spirit. It's a new day. Listen closely. Be attentive." And then he said, flick, flick, flick. "Like a lighter in your belly, I will flick it to ignite the fire that's already within you. Tune your inner ears to hear my leading. Be in the right places, and I will flick to ignite you, to open the lighter within. It is closed until I open it to ignite it, but it is already placed in you." Who's got the lizard? "The lizard of my word. Then it's his turn to talk. And my fire accompanies this talking lizard." I should have brought the lighter out. Huh? I should have brought the lighter out. I don't think I'm going to go further, because I want to talk about dreams. I want to talk about Daniel. I read about people like Daniel, and God gave him knowledge and skill and wisdom and understanding and dreams and visions and an excellent spirit and the ability to interpret dreams and to solve hard things and to dissolve doubts and riddles. And all of this was found in a young teenage boy named Daniel. And I go, why God? How God? Why don't we have that? Because Daniel stood in the presence of God. Daniel appointed him the time. And we are going to see. We're coming into the time. You know in Joel when it says, "In the last days I will pour out my spirit." And there will be the dreaming of dreams and the prophecies. And it's going to be poured out on all kinds of people. But you know what it said before he poured it out? Afterwards. Afterwards I poured out my spirit. We don't ever read that afterwards. And when it says afterwards, it means there's some before words. So you got to read the before words, which talk about the hard times that are coming. The hard, trying, purifying, making us holier and white and purging away our sin. Those times came first. Then he poured out his spirit. So first we have to go to the before words if we want to get the afterwards and be available for the pouring out of the spirit. So we're going to talk about the dreams next time. I just want to stop where we're at and give you the opportunity this morning to volunteer. To volunteer to be one of those who will appoint him the time. You can be young, you can be old. When he said old men die, he meant in spirit. You know, when something gets old, it seems to go cold. old people sometimes get so set in their ways, they can't hear anything different. This is the way we've always done it. Harvey used to, in our church, used to be, ain't never done it that way before. You know, that's the old stubborn religious, we ain't never done it that way. We're not changing. Well, God's creative. And He is speaking youth into our old spirits. It will wake up and listen. But it isn't going to be exactly like it's been. Things are changing. So if you want a youth renewal inwardly, you have to be willing to open those spiritual ears, appoint God some time, and say, what's going on? Talk to me. I will give you the time. I'll give you my whole life. Because who will appoint Him the time? He's not talking about an hour. He's not talking about a one-time meeting. He's not talking about 40 days on the mountain like Moses. He's talking about your whole life. Your whole life. Everything. And you know what? That might sound a little scary to people that have never appointed Him the time. But He's a God of laughter. He's a God who knows how to have fun. He's a God of love and mercy and gentleness. And He's a God of mystery. Revelation. I love revelation. He's a God of revelation. There are so many mysteries to open up to us. I love mystery, and yet when He brings me a mystery, I've got mysteries in here. I've got ways He's spoken that God, couldn't you just tell me? And He said, nah, because you wouldn't like it if I just straight up told you. You like the mystery of having to discover it. I go, yeah, I know, but I think I need more clues. I don't think I have enough clues to get this one yet. He's spoken, and you want to hear a mystery? I just tell you, He's got me going on this one. I have no clue. No clue. And I think this is for the church, too. Maybe one of you will get it. You shall excel. You will conquer the enemy. He will not prevail against you any longer in this matter. Listen closely now and write exactly what you hear. 1.5 times, and it will be finished. On the half, you will prevail. So persevere. 2 times and 3, you will excel into a new level, and then you will remain in it, learning to walk there for a while. 4 times will multiply by 5 to increase your place to 20. Rest with the 20 for a span of 6. Blue will be your peace and your fire, burning steady, hot, and sure. It will not be a flash fire, but one enduring to the end, and it will never be extinguished. Your secret weapon today is joy and laughter. Anointed laughter will break bondages. Anointed humor will bring healing laughter. The fire is in the laughter today, and it will set a fire. Pink and white bubbles of motherly, cuddly love will erupt in you today to comfort and encourage the family and visitors. This part was for our Christmas. Speak out from this love and allow it to flow, and there will be power and powerful inner effects. But do you get that, the way God plays with me? All these numbers, 4 times, will multiply by 5 to increase your place to 20 and rest with the 20 for a span of 6. I have no idea. I do not have a clue. But He knows that this page is going to be in front of me practically daily until He gives me the clues to figure that out. Because I like mystery. And I couldn't make that up if I had to. I couldn't make up a solution to that if I tried. I've tried. I always try. But when the Spirit explains it to me and it makes perfect sense, I'll share it with you, and you're going to know too that it had to come from God. Who in here could figure that out if God didn't tell them? And you know, that's what interpreting a dream is like. I don't interpret dreams every time people share them. But there are times that God gives me the interpretation. And even while they're telling me the dream, it's like, that makes perfect sense. That's absolutely clear. You know, because when God explains it, it all comes together. So it's fun. Sometimes it's not fun when He tells you things that are hard. But it's still the most exciting, adventurous way to live in the spirit realm, above this plane, above this level of logic and emotion and selfishness and demonic control, but to live in a higher level, to give God time, to appoint your life to Him, and to desire to live in that level. It's awesome. And we better get there, because the things that are going to be happening on this level are going to change. They're going to change. They're going to change this year. They're going to change everything this year. So let's be ready. let's appoint him the time. Yeah, do you want to be included? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, because you know what? That's manipulation and pressure. And if I ask you, who wants to be on that army, stand up. You'd probably all stand up, because you'd feel pretty stupid if you stay in your seat, wouldn't you? But I am going to ask you to make that decision between you and God. Not just an emotional run to the altar. Yes, me, God. I made so many emotional decisions in churches. We need a Sunday school teacher so bad. Who loves God enough to come and volunteer? Yeah, run to the altar, volunteer, wake up Monday morning and go, I don't want to teach Sunday school. Why did I do that? And now I have to go tell them, I don't want to do that, and quit. You know, that's worse than never telling them I'd do it. So then I did it. And I wasn't even called to do it. And I didn't like it. So I don't want an emotional decision. I want a real, deep, true choice to appoint God some time and give him your whole life and get ready for what's coming. So I want you to take it home. I want you to just take it home and consider it and bring it before the Lord. Father, we just ask you. We don't know what all you're up to. But as your word went on, you said that the wise will understand. They'll understand that everything that is coming is for us. It's for our good. It's for our preparation. It's because you love us. It's because you are bringing us out of a deceptive, wicked world into your realm, where everything is holy and clean and beautiful and pure. I love your realm, and that's where we want to live. Bring us there. Bring us into an encounter with your sweet spirit that will capture our heart and addict us to you forever. Lord, I'm asking that you would go home with each person and that you would bring them into your presence and speak into them what you're calling them for, where you're calling them. That you would draw us to yourself, because no man can come to you except you draw him. Please draw us closer. Because we know you're coming. You're coming closer, and we want to be ready. We just love you, Lord. We yield everything to you for this church, that you direct us where you want us to go. Bring together the puzzle pieces and make it clear. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let the joy of the Lord enter. Let the joy of the Lord enter. Let the joy of the Lord enter. Let the joy of the Lord enter this day. Open your eyes to the truth. See who Jesus really is. And open your eyes to the truth. I say, come unto me if you want to know my truth. All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is